Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms, and one of the most important things about real estate is where do you get the money? We've got great news for you because things have changed in the lending world, and there's an opportunity today like never before. At the same time, a lot of folks want to protect their equity. Our guest is going to show you how to do all of that today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. The Real Estate Guys are throwing a party, and you're invited. Join us at the New Orleans Investment Conference, November 1st through 4th. Now in its 45th year, it's the nation's longest-running investment conference and features some of the biggest names in economics and investing, including Doug Casey, Dennis Gartman, Rick Rule, and Peter Schiff. The Real Estate Guys are speaking in multiple sessions, attending lots of others, and we're hosting a hospitality suite one of the evenings for our friends and listeners, including some VIPs for you to mingle with. So make plans today to join the Real Estate Guys at the New Orleans Investment Conference. With everything going on in the world, no serious investor can afford to miss it. For all the details, send an email to neworleans@realestateguysradio.com, and it will tell you how to get upgraded tickets and join the party. That's neworleans@realestateguysradio.com. And we'll see you in New Orleans. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, it is our co-host and financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
This is going to be a show you're going to dig, my friend, because
it is.
With a guy in a background in mortgages and being our financial strategist, one of the challenges people have is figuring out leverage. Leverage is great because leverage helps us magnify returns. Leverage means the bank loans you money so you don't have to come up with all the money to buy real estate. There's a lot of reasons that makes sense, but also leverage is like a chainsaw. It's a great tool, but if you use it wrong, it can cut you. And a lot of folks saw that happen in the last downturn. From our show last week where we talked about the whole repo market, our guest knows a ton about that as well. People are not sure about what to do. At the same time, there's equity to be had. So today, we're going to focus on alternative funding solutions and ways that you can borrow money to get stuff done in real estate.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on in the marketplace right now that I think people really need to be paying attention to. You hear a lot of talk by people who are looking around at the economy and where we're at in the cycle saying, hey, real estate's overheated. Certainly you could make that argument about the stock market. And what happens is any asset gets to a point where it kind of flips over. So real estate investors, true investing is about focusing on cash flow. And if you do that and you're investing for cash flow and your deal pencils by the cash flow, then pretty much whatever happens, you can weather that storm, which is great. The challenge is that when it flips over and, you know, we've already seen it, like say in apartments, cap rates getting compressed. What does that mean? It means that investors are bidding up the price in pursuit of the income and they're beginning to bet on the future instead of buying what's in the now. The problem is when that starts to happen at some point, there is no future. You have to buy for the now because you can't go any higher based on the cash flow, and then it becomes speculative. That happens in single family homes because the lenders are not requiring it to be positive cash flow. You can subsidize it with your own income.
Well, let's stop there for a minute because this is an important distinction. When you buy a commercial loan or commercial property, retail, office, 5 units or more, the property has to cash flow. It has to service the debt. Doesn't matter about any of the rest of that. But when you buy a home to live in, it's your income that services the debt. And when you buy a home to rent next door, it's still your income they're going to look at, maybe a little credit for the rent. So you're not used to thinking about it that way. It's a much more prudent way to approach real estate when your commercial lender also requires that the property cash flows.
Yeah. And so, I mean, professional investors are investing at the commercial level. They're dealing with commercial lenders and everybody's doing strict underwriting. And for the most part, you don't see the kind of disasters that we saw in the single family home market back in the day. And when I say single family home market, I'm talking about it from an investor perspective, from a lending perspective, which is residential 1-4. And the reason there's two different universes of lending is because residential 1-4 is basically subsidized by the government through programs like Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the VA, FHA. And so loans that are going to be backstopped by the feds have to conform to the feds' guidelines. That's what a conforming loan is. Because of that, implied or now overt guarantee, the rates are lower. And so that's why everybody loves it. The challenge is you don't have that strict underwriting. And so it's easy to get over your skis, if you will, as a rookie investor, and you start getting speculative. So right now, the market is pretty hot. And there are people out there who over the last 10 years have wisely built a nice portfolio, and they're Fannie and Freddie'd out. You know, they've got 5, 6, 7, 10 loans. They can't get any more loans. And yet the rates have actually come down a little bit. And you're like, wow, there's a lot of cheap money out there. I can't get my hands on it. And the other thing they've got is a lot of equity in these properties they've built up. And they're like, wow, I'd like to be able to get at that equity. And then the question is, and this is always the question, is what do you do with that equity? And I'm sure we'll cover some of that as we get through the show today. But the point is, you have to have tools in your toolbox. And when you are Fannie and Freddie'd out and you don't have access to that tool anymore, is there a way for you to find alternatives in terms of your funding to solve the problem of how can I liquefy equity? How can I take advantage of lower rates in my portfolio and free up money so I can continue to invest? And so we're going to be talking about all of that stuff today because it's a fascinating topic, and we got an expert on this particular topic in the house today.
You know, the market giveth and the market taketh away, and we follow trends and cycles in real estate investing. I remember you and I were speaking at the California Association's Realtors Conference in San Diego several years ago. It was before the crash, maybe right before the crash, and we checked into the hotel right across from the convention center, and there was a magazine, and the cover says, "Has your home price peaked?" And I remember you picked it up and you go, "Well, yes, it has. Again, right?" That same magazine cover could be out right now in San Diego. Has your home's price peaked? Here's the point of that. At different times in our investing career, there will be times when the markets are high and markets are low, when interest rates are high, interest rates are low, when money is readily available, when it's not. We're looking for the intersection of where those things line up in such a way that we can take advantage today with a nod towards the future. We don't have a crystal ball. If you heard last week's show and you're disturbed by that, and you should be, and you're thinking, wow, I've got this equity. My properties have done well over the last few years. It's not going to always be here. People always have a vision of what their home value is or their apartment value is based on when that was at the highest point. But that's not how it works.
Well, this is the thing I think a lot of investors don't understand. I certainly didn't prior to 2008. And that is that your equity is very much a byproduct, or you could even call it a derivative, of healthy credit markets. And when credit markets seize up for whatever reason, and they do that from time to time, equity disappears. Now, you may not understand the mechanics of why that happens, and you know, I'm not going to take the time to go into it now, but just understand that's the reality of the situation. So if you're sitting there looking at your portfolio and you're flush with equity and you feel wealthy, you're only wealthy on paper. And if the credit market seize up and they're showing signs right now of stress, nobody knows what's wrong, but the Fed is pumping billions, $70 billion, $75 billion a day into these markets. So something under the hood is horribly wrong, and nobody's quite figured out what it is. So the concern is, if they don't figure it out, or if it's something they can't control, there's a possibility, I'm not even saying it's a probability, but it's a possibility that the credit markets could seize up. The problem is, if that happens, all that fabulous equity that you have disappears. It's temporary, and if you've got strong cash flow, you'll weather it. But here's the thing that's even more frustrating. There's going to be blood in the streets. There's going to be depressed pricing. There's going to be bargains everywhere. And if you're not liquid, you're like a kid locked out the candy store, and you're standing there with your face against the glass wishing you could get inside, but you're not in position. So now we're talking about things you can do to take advantage of where the market's at right now to be prepared just in case this thing turns out to be what some people are going to consider a crisis and other people are going to consider a giant opportunity. And it really just depends on how aware and prepared you are. And that's what today's show is about.
So if you are Fannie and Freddie'd out, or if you're sitting on a bunch of equity and wanting to know what to do about it, you're going to be glad you tuned in today. We'll be back with our guest next on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Have you thought about adding agricultural real estate to your portfolio? Hey, it's Robert Helms. For years, we've been talking about the various ways to capitalize from the impending calorie crunch by investing in land that yields productive crops. The concept is sound, the need is proven, and it can be a great way to diversify by both product type and market. If that sounds interesting to you, consider joining me on a live opportunity tour to Panama and Paraguay this December. We'll learn firsthand about several specific opportunities and have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. To get the details, go to the website or realestateguysradio.com and click on events, where you'll find the Paraguay Citrus and Greenhouse Plantation Tour. If you'll cover your flights, the Paraguay Ag Invest team will cover your hotel, tours, and meals. So join me in Panama and Paraguay, December 9th to 13th. Go to Real Estate Guys Radio under Events. Profit from farming without getting your hands dirty. Join me on the Paraguay Citrus and Greenhouse Plantation Opportunity Tour, and I look forward to spending time with you and learning together. That's realestateguysradio.com under Events.
Do you have a self-directed IRA invested in a syndication? Guess what? It's a ticking time bomb. Why? Because IRAs get hit with UBIT taxes, even Roth IRAs. Hi, I'm Damian Lupo, and we fix this problem for you forever. It gets even better because using the EQRP, you can literally get rid of taxes from all of your gains forever and protect your nest egg. The EQRP is the best vehicle to get it done. IRAs can't do it, not even Roth IRAs. You see, UBIT happens whenever any type of IRA invests in anything with debt. Don't worry, even if your IRA is already invested in a deal, we can kill that tax. Our team at Total Control Financial is here to give you control of your retirement money and free you from that deadly IRA tax forever. Want to learn more about the EQRP? Send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com. I'll email you my special report and send you a copy of the QRP book. Paying a 37% UBIT tax is stupid. First step to getting rid of that tax is to send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com today.
Hi, this is Kendra Todd, winner of The Apprentice, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show on this great radio station all the time at realestateguysradio.com and your favorite podcast locations. We're talking about getting liquid and creating liquidity in your portfolio through financing, and we'd like to introduce you to our guest. Please say hello to Mr. Billy Brown. Billy, how are you?
Doing fantastic, Robert. Thanks for having me on. I'm such an honor to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here. We first met in Nashville at Music and Money.
Correct,
which
yes.
is a really cool event that happens in Nashville that our friend Seth puts on and some folks there. And you've been in the Nashville market for a while.
Quite a while. I've been there since 2006 is when I moved there. And magically, just things went up. So I'm going to take credit for the boom
definitely.
In Nashville.
That was the best time to invest in Nashville is when Billy moved there. Yes.
Exactly. But Nashville's an amazing market. We withstand the bubble. It's such a very diverse economy. And, of course, we got a little bit of music, a little bit of sports, a whole bunch of healthcare, and it's just a really cool town to be in.
Absolutely. Now, what you do is you specialize in helping investors and syndicators and a lot of people figure out the financing part of all this. And one of the big problems, I think we'll start with this, that investors have when they're successful, they go out and they get a house to rent, and they get another one, they get another one. And then pretty soon, they get what we call Fannie and Freddie'd out. They no longer conform to those guidelines Russ was talking about, and they have a hard time getting a loan. And so we got a lot of listeners who are Fannie and Freddie'd out. We know because we meet these people at the syndication event and in our travels, and like, you know, I'd love to buy another house, but I can't get any more. So one of the many things you do, and I think let's start here, is you have the ability to sit down with someone like that, kind of no matter where those houses are. They don't have to be in Nashville. They have to be in the U.S., right? But to be able to take individual loans and restructure that in a way that frees up their qualification. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, first off, it's always nice to work with a lender that's also an investor. So I always come up from this standpoint of we love infinite returns, especially me personally. So that's how I wear my hat. And then we translate that into lender speak. If we're starting there, how do we use the tools that we have available to us inside lending and our lending partners to go create infinite returns? And that's the awesome part. This is just one strategy we've come up with and we've seen as prices have gone up, cash flows have gone up, people are looking to take advantage of deals. And again, Fannie and Freddie'd out, we need to help those folks access that equity. And we have a few different strategies in place to go do that. The first one is on the portfolio lending. You know, there's a lot of portfolio lenders out there. Banks will do it. Non-banks will do it. But there's actually some out there that'll be non-recourse. And most people that have gone through the Fannie Freddie loan, the first one was easy. Second one is a little easy-ish.
Yeah.
And by the time you get fourth or fifth one, you're like, oh my gosh, being an investor is very, very hard because the capital is so hard to go get.
Now let's stop for a minute because I think no investor left behind.
Yeah.
The reason this is from the lender's perspective, they're just trying to make a risk-adjusted return. And their thinking is if it's the home you live in, you'll do whatever it takes to make that payment, right? I mean,
correct.
Things
yeah.
are going to have to get really bad before you don't make your house payment. But when it's rental house number five, right? It's just a different risk, you know, parameter. We want to go acquire a bunch of houses or a bunch of properties as investors, and leverage is our tool. That's the oxygen, the money that we need to be able to buy these properties. But the lender's going, well, wait a minute, Billy, you've already got a lot of property.
Yeah, and that's the point. They go, hey, Fannie Mae saying, well, you're no longer buying homes. You're now an investor, and they're going to start requiring more and more and more of you, because that's really not what they're in the business of doing.
Right.
You know, they like the owner-occupied stuff. Like you said, that's what they're in, designated to go do. Now you're an investor. Well, now you're trying to use basically a spoon for a tool you need a shovel for.
Yep.
Or a backhoe or something more. And guess what? People don't realize that there's actually lending tools out there available just for investors that make it so much easier. And I try to explain that to people going, well, yeah, I'm getting cheaper rates over here. It's like, yeah, it's subsidized by Fannie and Freddie, but how much of a headache did you go through to go get that money and how long did it take you? When over here, yes, it may cost you just a little bit more, but they're actually designed, the tool is designed for this job. And that's what we're talking about today, is how to now readjust based on this portfolio you've gotten, to go right-size it and then be able to take advantage of the deals that we know are about to happen.
So if you've not been through this before, if you haven't got your fifth or sixth or eighth or 20th loan, the first few, that really the first four fall into a relatively easy category. And it seems to me like at number five, that's when all of a sudden they want more money down. They want to see a lot more detail. All of a sudden it becomes more commercial in the way it feels. So you're going to get to that point. If you want to own more than four properties, you're going to get to that point. So once you're at that point, the interest rate's going to go up, right? LTV is going to be less. You're now an investor, and so this idea is, let's take all of that, put it together as an investor loan, and as you said, rates might be a little bit higher, but what it buys you back is the qualification of those loans, plus talk about one-stop shopping. You have one loan that services multiple properties. Now, this is a lot to get into, but stick with us and we'll get through it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a different mindset. If you've been doing it one way and then you've got to learn and basically relearn how to do it a different way, the way the investors are going to do it. One, it's a little difficult in your mind to get it around, but you're going to realize really quickly how easy it is because, again, the tool is designed for the job. And now, if you've done this great job of creating assets, the cash flow, let us help you go access that equity while the equity's up, and they still cash flow to put money back in your hands, unrestricted, to go do whatever you want to with that. And that's the beautiful part, is you can go do another lines of credit, you can go buy cash for housing, you can go do in gold, you can do whatever you want to, but you have options with that equity, because we know what happens if the equity goes away. You do not have access to that anymore. So this is just one option for you. We actually can pair that with different, you know, other lending strategies, but not to get too deep in the weeds, but the first thing is you go from just the Fannie and Freddie out, you have 9 or 10 loans with 9 or 10 mortgage payments that may or may not be escrowed, down to one mortgage, one escrow, that's it, and a whole bunch of cash.
Yeah. So walk us through this. You acquire properties over time. Maybe it took me 5 or 6 years to get 10 properties. And they, as you mentioned, different loans, different loan rates, different amounts of equity in property, all that stuff. Now I go, Billy, this is crazy. Help me out. You're going to look at the portfolio. You're going to look at the income. You're going to look at all that. And you guys really function kind of in a unique way as brokers, we'll call that. You can correct me if that's not the technical term. But you've got lots of different sources for where you go based on that set of circumstances. But if I have this group of loans and I come to you, what's the process look like? How do I get the information you need? We're talking about durability of rents. We're talking about rent rolls. Walk us through it.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing there is the process is pretty simple. It's really simple if you're organized. I know Russ is talking about this as far as your organization of your books and your bookkeeping and record keeping. If you have that, it makes the things a lot easier for lenders. Not to get me sidetracked on that one. But if you have just a simple rent roll or schedule real estate owned, and your personal financial statement, we can come up with a plan fairly quickly for you to see if it fits in the recourse, non-recourse, or hey, you're not quite there yet, and point you in the right direction. Now, just because we're talking about portfolio lending right now, and you go, hey, I've got equity here, and I'm going to do something with this, doesn't mean we can't help you. We can actually go help you. It's just not the topic we're talking about today. But yeah. The process to get started is very, very simple. We got to do basically like you do for a doctor. Show me where it hurts. You know, okay, well, what do you got? Let's look at your records in this case, what properties do you own as far as their addresses, how much rent you can pull in, when you bought them, equity is in there, where are your rates right now? Want to make sure that you're not like super low on stuff. We don't want to touch those. But at the same time, like, we're going to give you options, let you make the decision. And those abilities get those quotes back is fairly quick. Usually within 48 hours, we have a pretty good idea what we can go get you, recourse, non-recourse, otherwise, and sit down with the strategy of it. It's very, very fun because it's designed for investors. And these things are going to cash flow. They have to cash flow. They have to cash flow on their own.
Such a good point. You can decide to buy a house to rent, and it doesn't necessarily cash flow like it should, and people have done that. But when you get to the commercial level, the properties have to work. So they won't make you the loan. You won't, quote unquote, let somebody get into a loan that's not going to work for them.
Absolutely not. Believe it or not, there's actually some lenders out there that have learned since 2008. And now there's still some out there doing some crazy things, but we stay away from them. As an investor myself, I want to make sure when there's a downturn and if things drop, you still have the ability to debt service just off of this. They are siloed where you're not going to, I mean, unless there's a catastrophe, you're not going to be subsidizing these loans like you would with a Fannie Freddie, because that's all they care about is a total cash flow. What we're talking about is a siloed cash flow of these properties, income versus expenses, and that's post all your operations, as well as your property management, your escrow for CapEx and all that. When it nets us down there, do you have enough money left over to service the debt? So very conservative underwriting these things. And oh yeah, these things are 30-year amortized loans.
Okay, so 30-year amortized loans, is there an LTV in general, or is that going to be dependent upon the seasoning and all those kinds of things?
It really depends. We've seen a lot of lenders that go up to 80% cash out refinance.
Okay.
But again, if you have strong cash flows and there's strong properties in strong areas, like Dallas, for instance, I mean, they'll go sometimes up to 80% on your, but you can pretty much guess between 70 and 75% is probably going to be your performer there.
Of current market value.
Current market value.
So for a lot of folks who have been buying the last few years, they've got that equity.
Yes.
It's not necessarily easy to tap into when you have 8 or 9 loans. And there hasn't been the availability of cash out refis like there used to be. But with this, you're basically taking your whole portfolio and saying, all right, I want to get this thing as a portfolio to perform. We're going to look at a loan that's going to encumber all the properties, one easy payment. Now, what happens if I want to sell one of my properties?
Oh, that's the first question we ask you is, are there any ones that you do not want to keep? Any ugly children in this portfolio you want to get rid of? If so, leave them out.
Yeah, it's pretty common that you would have release clauses and 100% of value and all. Anytime you have cross-collateralization, a loan that encumbers more than one property, this is, we'll call it the downside, it's just a thing you have to know, right? So this is really designed for the investor that wants to buy and hold a portfolio and keep hanging on to it.
Absolutely. You want to make sure you can hold on to it, I would say, for at least 3 to 5 years. There are some pretty hefty prepayment penalties in these things because they are securitized. You know, there's investors out there that want to buy these things and go buy the paper on them. And they want to make sure that they're going to get the return, so they put some heavy prepayments in theirs. But you can structure them.
And this is a great point. I'm glad you brought this up, Billy, because not all investors have their mind around this, because for single-family homes, there's generally not prepayments. I mean, sometimes there is, depending on the loan. But the reason there's a prepayment penalty, and again, you got to look at the lender's perspective, they're going to put out a certain amount of resources and time and effort and capital to be in a position to collect the interest rate from you. So they want to make sure they're making a return. Either that's going to be a time period, a 3-year minimum, 5-year minimum, whatever that looks like, or a return they have to achieve. So in commercial loans, we talk about, you know, yield maintenance clauses and defeasance and all these fancy words that basically just mean the lender needs to make their profit.
Exactly.
You can't do this with a portfolio and then turn around in 10 days and sell it. Now, you can't say you can't. You could do that, but you're just going to pay the heavy fees.
You're going to get hammered on some penalties there.
Yeah, so you want to understand. This is the whole thing. This is what you do, is you help people pick the right tool out of the tool shed for what makes sense for them. So what we're talking about specifically is if you spent the last 3, 5, 10 years acquiring a portfolio of single family homes, they're working for you, you like the markets, you're good with your property management, you would just like to have access to the capital, this is probably a great tool.
This is one of the tools in our tool shed we'll be able to help you out with. Now, it's not the only one, but this is one that's very, very cool because of the non-recourse part of it and how easy it is, relatively speaking, to everything else to go access it. Because a lot of these lenders don't really even care geographically where they're at. As long as their MSAs are big enough, you know, for their underwriting, they don't care if it's, you know, Dallas, Indianapolis, wherever, as long as it meets the minimum loan sizes and the minimum numbers and minimum dollar amount. They don't care.
Okay, that was my next question. Because one of the things commercial lenders look at, if I'm buying a 300-unit apartment complex, they're going to look at my third-party management solution. Who is managing this? What kind of track record do they have? That's the durability of income. If I have a portfolio of 10 houses in 10 different cities, that's just more underwriting? Or are there some cities where, like, you know, that's too much of a tertiary market, we don't lend on that? Or how does that part work?
Each lender has their own set of circumstances there and the criteria for that. But I will tell you this, for those type of bigger loans that you have, those bigger portfolios, they're going to require you to have property management. And honest to God, as an investor, you have those all over the place. I hope to goodness you have property managers for your own sanity, because just the thought of that makes me cringe.
The property manager is the least respected and most important person on your team. No disrespect to the lenders, but that's what the rubber meets the road. So great property manager. Hey, if you're going to buy a commercial property, you don't have a choice. You're going to have a third-party manager. But people could manage a single-family home theirself. Maybe that's a great way to learn for the first couple of years, but eventually you want to hand that job off. Okay, so that's great. So that's the Fannie and Freddie part. I can take a portfolio of properties, talk with you guys about how I can turn that into a single loan. Now, let's talk about some other tools that people might have today. If they're thinking, like Russ was talking about, I don't know where the top of the market is. I've got a bunch of equity. How can I access that equity today?
There's a lot of different ways to go do that. The permit loans is one. We have a couple of lenders will do some interest onlys as well. Like say you have some portfolios, maybe some ugly children in there that you know you're going to sell in a couple of years, but you don't want to tie them up into permanent loans. We have a few that do have some no prepayments clauses in them that are interest only for a couple of years. So you go, hey, I'm going to ride this out for a couple of years. I got a cash flow. I want the equity now. Reposition it and go on. We also have lenders that go, hey, if it's the properties are the same area we lend in, and you know that you're going to buy something over here, like let's say a small apartment, a commercial, whatever it is, we can cross-collateralize those into one loan and basically take the equity from the existing properties, uses the down payment of others, we'll tie it all in first position. Lenders are happy because it's a big loan, it's very stable, it's in their backyard. There you go. That's more on the depository side, the bank side that can do that. But in some instances, we can do that on the non-bank side as well.
So this brings up a really good point, which is if I walk into the bank and there's a loan agent sitting there, well, it's pretty clear who that person works for, right? It doesn't mean I couldn't find a potentially good loan there. But what your company does is you work for the investor. So you don't have a horse in the race as far as where this loan goes, and you've got a whole bunch of resources, maybe some that other lenders have and certainly some that other lenders don't have. And this is the point. When you get to this level of finance, it's not as simple as filling out a form at the bank and the money gets transferred on the close of escrow day. This is someone needs to sit down with you before they make any moves and show you what they got. We always say prescription without diagnosis is malpractice. So you can't make a prescription on the lender or the type of loan or the duration or any of that until you've looked at what people have.
Absolutely. And I always I put this out in my email newsletter all the time of, you know, people call me all the time and says, what are your rates?
Right.
And let me just tell you how much we love getting that question as what we do. That's not us. We're not McDonald's. We're very concierge. You are hiring us to go achieve a goal through our network, and we're going to help you achieve that goal. Hopefully it's infinite ROI because we love doing that. I'll give you an example here in a little bit. We love helping investors create more wealth through the right use of the right tool at the right time. And for most people that have been dealing with a Fannie Freddie mortgage lender or a bank person at their local credit institution, whatever that is, they tend to come off as more order takers because they work for that institution. They're not going to necessarily offer up any suggestions on, hey, here's some strategy to go put into place, or hey, if we could go do this with another lender. What we can do is actually manage different lenders at the same time to achieve the overall goal of whatever that is. Like, hey, I need to go do this, but I have all these different assets in all these other different places. How do we go right-size that equity across those different platforms to go achieve this fantastic goal? And we love doing that. And the strategy part is really what you're paying us for. And then we go execute that strategy within our lending network.
Our guest today is Billy Brown. We're talking about different strategies when it comes to financing property, refinancing property, and harvesting equity. We'll have more when we come back. Plus, we'll play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms, and if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits, the beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hey, this is Gene from the Residential Assisted Living Academy. Making money, cash flow, is important. Doing it for the right reasons with a heart is even more important. If you'd like to learn more about turning a single family home into a cash flow machine, earning $5, $10, $15,000 net or more per month, well, I'd like to share that with you. Our motto is do good and do well. There is a silver tsunami of seniors coming, and you have a huge opportunity. Take advantage of it.
To gain access to an informational webinar presented by certified financial planner and real estate entrepreneur Gene Guarino and discover how you can turn a nice home in a nice neighborhood into a cash flow machine, send an email to ALF, A-L-F, at realestateguysradio.com. That's A-L-F at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Peter Schiff, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. Still time to join us at the 45th Annual New Orleans Investment Conference. It happens the first week of November, and we're going to have an amazing suite party for Real Estate Guys listeners. Plus, you'll learn from a wide variety of folks that teach at this event. You can get all the details and the invitation to the party simply by sending an email to neworleans@realestateguysradio.com. neworleans@realestateguysradio.com. We're talking about different funding solutions for real estate investors. And before we get back to our discussion with Billy Brown, it's time to play Real Estate Trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing today's Real Estate Trivia question. When you hear the question and think you know the answer, quickly get a response to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address, because if you're the winner, we're going to send you the Advanced Guide to Real Estate Investing by our good friend Ken McElroy. This is an awesome book, and for those of you that already read the ABCs of Real Estate Investing, this could be the next book for you. That could be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week, we were talking to Bob Burr about oil, and we asked this: which U.S. state produces the most oil? It's still the grand state of Texas. In fact, Texas accounted for 47.8% of all U.S. oil output in 2018, and Texas has almost one-third of all proven oil reserves with more than 10 billion barrels. In fact, if Texas were its own country, it'd be the sixth largest oil producer in the world. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Which country is the hardest working? Yeah, in which country do the citizens work the most hours on average? Of all the countries in the world, whose citizens work the hardest? If you know or just want to take a guess, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Be sure to include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address, so that if you're the winner, we can send you Ken McElroy's The Advanced Guide to Real Estate Investing. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking today about getting the financing you need to acquire properties, to refinance properties, to harvest equity, and great stuff. This is the kind of thing you need to be thinking at as you evolve as a real estate investor. We're talking to Billy Brown. Now, Billy, you guys look at the big picture of what people are trying to accomplish. Well, I should say of what they have, and then what they're trying to accomplish.
Correct, yes.
What other kinds of loans do you do? Are you able to place, you know, traditional loans and acquisition loans and lines of credits? And just give us kind of the bigger picture on what your firm does.
The short answer, yes. So we have relationships with hundreds of different lenders, and that's what you hire us to go do, is to go execute that strategy, whatever that is with lines of credit. I mean, the types of loans, I mean, we can do anything from $100,000 cash out refinance of a single family rental up to $100 million CMBS loan. We're very good at hospitality. We go very strong in hospitality and cash out there if it's flagged the right way. We're very good at self-storage. We're very good at, actually has some short-term rental lending that is very good. And it can lend off pro forma if anyone here likes the short-term rental market. Really, whatever that strategy is, we can go find a lender to go execute that the wise way. So we work on behalf of the investor. So we'll make sure that they're protected and not doing too much and getting too aggressive with their ask. Even if the lender will go do it, we always try to caution them going, hey, have you thought about this? You know, we want you to access that equity, but we want to do it the right way, not get a little too out over your skis, like Russ says.
Well, this is important because you're viewing folks in terms of the long-term relationship, not in terms of a transaction.
It's one
of the things we appreciate about the way you guys approach this. And that's what you're looking for. Someone's looking for a team member that can guide them, not someone to, quote unquote, take the order. So one of the things you have to be thinking about that way is when you're new to real estate investing, you know, you hear the ads, no points, no fees. So my loan's not going to cost me anything. Well, the reality is the lender gets paid no matter what, and it's just all the trade-off. In the old days with no points and no fees, it's just higher interest rate. And there's always that trade-off between what am I paying in terms of the interest rate and what am I paying in terms of points and so forth. So you mentioned a couple times that, you know, people are hiring you to do this work. What does that part look like? How do they engage you? And do they pay up front? Do you get paid from the lenders? How does all that part work?
That's a great question, Robert. The here's a little secret. We are a for-profit business.
Okay.
Yeah. So just let everyone know we are for-profit. We do expect to get paid when we go do the loan. But here's the great thing. We are a partner with you. So we don't take any fees up front. None.
Great.
We only get paid when you do the deal. Now, most of the time, we can achieve more of a return through the lending than our fee is.
Yeah.
And in some cases, it goes through our network of bank lenders. Sometimes that fee is included in the loan request. It actually gets watered down. So you're going to pay one way or another to go do the loan. You're going to pay one way or another to go get the equity out of the property or go achieve your result. You've got to pay people, the professionals, to go do this because it is very, very complicated. That's one reason that real estate is safe-ish in the United States is you have a lot of professionals that protect this, and you have to pay them because they're very, very smart. Same thing with lenders. So you want to make sure that you have the right lender, and the right lender will cost you money. Now, is it a return of that money that you're getting, or is it just to pay a fee to pay a fee? And that's where we differentiate ourselves, is because we feel like we give more value than it costs the borrower. And here's one example. So we were approached about a year ago about a gentleman buying a vacant self-storage facility in just outside of Memphis.
Yep.
How many lenders do you think like
vacant with no income coming in? Not too many.
None. So they're trying to do an all equity raise on this thing. They're actually getting a very, very good deal. Could not find any lenders to go do it. Could not find the equity investors to go do it. Again, Memphis, vacant. What in the world? They had some experience in it. It was good. So we looked at the tax value. They're way underneath the tax value. It's a really good deal. And we said, well, why don't we do this? Let's get a bridge loan on it to go acquire it. We actually gave them more than the purchase price so they can have a little capital in there to go pay some people.
Yep.
They took their money that they raised to go improve that property. Simultaneously, we were underwriting a loan to go take this thing out. Simultaneously.
Yeah.
Now, the bridge loan's not cheap. You know, it was about 12% interest rate, which is normal for bridge lending right there. 4 months later, not only we did take out that lien first position, we took it out. We took out the investors. And we gave them about $100,000 cash on top of that.
So this brings up a really great point, Billy, because people think in terms of, you know, hard money and so forth, and bridge loans are expensive, but they're only expensive for the short period of time that you use them. If I need cash for 6 months, I'm going to pay a higher interest rate, but it gets the job done. And to your point, I don't see a scenario under which a great lender doesn't pay for themselves, because you're going to acquire a property or you're going to refinance a portfolio, and the net result is going to be better than if you didn't do it.
Exactly. You're using that equity to go do something. And we're very much a relationship company. So if you're one-off and go, hey, I just need this transaction over here, we may not be the right person for you, because we may send you to a local person. But we like working with investors or business owners are going to be active, because guess what? Once we have you underwritten the first time, you're in our file. It literally is a copy and paste to the next one, and just got to change the strategy, change the lender, move on. So when you work with somebody like us that are active, that are investors, that are themselves, that have that network, understand how business gets done and the speed at which it needs to get done, realistically, we can help you win just because of the amount of heavy lifting we've already done for you on your next deal.
Well, not only that, the whole surety thing is big in the lending industry, and it really should be for investors. If I take my assortment of single-family houses and I get one of these loans we're talking about, I know the payment, I know the interest rate, I know the timeline, and I've got tenants who are paying for that. So if the market goes up or down, isn't that important? You know, one of the charts we like to show when we go to present is the chart of what happened to home values during the downturn, right, from about 2000 to about, you know, now. It's like there was this big dip in the home values in 2007, 8, 9, right? And then what happened to rents? And rents didn't come down nearly as much as home values, in some markets, not at all. So as long as I've got a loan I can feel strong about, I'm going to be in a position to take advantage of that. And the thing about portfolios is that rarely is your, say if I have 10 houses, rarely are they all going to be vacant, right? I may have one person move out and I've got to fill a vacancy, maybe two, but I'm not going to have 10 out of 10 vacant. So that gives me that surety as well. And I'm sure the lender looks at that.
Well, you're building yourself a small little apartment portfolio is what it is. And that's why they can go do these things, because on average, if you have one house and you have it go vacant, it's 100% vacancy. You got 10 and one's out, that's 10%. Okay, you can go live with that for a short amount of time to get it filled up again. So the lenders like that, packaging those together, and it makes a lot more sense for not only them, but also you. And that's why they get that trade-off as far as that loan of like, hey, we can do this not recourse because, hey, this is a great deal. You're creating yourself a bigger boat to withstand that potential economic downturns or whatever's going on, so long as they remain filled and you have tenants in there paying the notes.
Hey, Billy, what are the things you wish that your borrowers knew, or maybe some of the biggest mistakes you see people make when they approach financing for real estate?
The first one is they think the lenders are against them. I did a podcast with another gentleman that's in our local market, and the title of it was, "Lender's Your Friend." The lender is your partner on this because, yeah, they may think that they're crazy and they're like, oh my gosh, you guys are so conservative and not even like half glass full. They're like, the glass is broken.
Yeah.
You know, water's all the place. Like, no, it's right there. It's half full. I see it right there. They're so negative at times, and most underwriters are, because they've seen it all. But they want to make sure they have returns of their money for their investors. So they're going to help you with your returns on your investors in case there is a downturn. It's almost the bottom of it. What is the worst case scenario that can happen? And they got to underwrite to that realistically. And if you can live with that, then everything else is upside. And that's a beautiful thing. The lender is your friend. And you get with the lenders that are active in the marketplace. And I always ask people this when they talk about they're trying to shop us or whatever. It's like, don't shop us. Ask the next guy you talk to how many rental properties they've done, how many syndications they've done, how many conferences they've gone to actually get in the market and get their sleeves rolled up and hands dirty. There's very, very few lenders out there that are actually in the market themselves doing their own deals. And that's what I feel is a separator for us is we do those. I do those. I'm here with you guys conference, learning how to do syndicate more properties, buy more real estate. We're just part of that group, and we speak that language. So the first hat I always wear is from the investor standpoint. So the lender's your friend, and then find a lender that can actually speak your language and then translate that to a lender speak. And I say probably the third thing there is we're not your CPA. The more organized you are, the cheaper your money will be and the faster it will come. The less organized you are, guess what? Underwriters nor loan officers want to deal with you, because if I have to go do this for you, you're going to the bottom of the list.
Right.
And I've done many podcasts on this, and we're going to probably do another one here as far as organization of your documents. It's very, very easy to do with these cloud services to have everything ready to go. It's on my website as far as what we need to start the underwrite. Go do that. Come to us, and it's very easy. Our underwriting team is very fast once we have 100% of that. And 99% is not 100%.
Right.
You know, this is, you've got to have 100% of it because there can be key piece of information. A lot of people will not give us that other tax return from their other business. Well, you don't need to know about that. Well, guess what? There may be some bleeding out the other side we may need to know about.
Well, this is back to the lender as your friend.
Yeah.
You want to disclose everything. Like, you know, it's not attorney-client privilege, but it should feel like that. Like, you tell your lender everything so they know, they don't get stuck in a position because they didn't know and it came up and it threw the whole deal apart.
Well, and the way we work, we're working on your behalf. Any other lender you go through, sort of bank, non-bank, whatever, and underwriters are not investors. Believe it or not, underwriters are not investors. They don't have that personality.
Usually not.
They are not. They're very half, you know, a water full type of people. So they see something that's very, very messy. They're not going to deal with it. And they're always going to see it as unclear. Unclarity means inaction. So they're either not going to work on it, or they're going to be skewed in their mindset, whether they say it or not, that they're not going to give you the most favorable terms or just put it in the back burner. So you're not going to get a decision. A fast no is better than a slow no.
All right. Well, this is good stuff. Now, it is a lot to digest, Billy, and I know that you and our very own Russell Gray have put together a webinar about this. Talk about the webinar and what it's going to cover.
Yeah, the webinar is something I put together and presented with Seth Mosley at Music and Money, and the title of it is How to Access Your Lazy Equity. I got to give credit to a friend of mine there in Nashville, and hopefully he comes one of these events and says it because his deep Southern Tennessee accent says it's great. He goes, I mean, my equity's sitting there like a lazy teenager on the couch, eating potato chips, playing video games, and he needs to go out and get a job. So that kind of triggered this whole idea of the lazy equity. It's like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I'm going to use that. I got a picture of a lazy teenager as kind of like the image there, because people can kind of see that in their mind of a lazy, you know, eating chips, playing video games on the couch. So we're going to talk about, you know, just a little bit of the nuts and bolts of how do you access that? What is non-recourse lending? And what to go do about it, and see if it actually makes sense for you to put that that strategy into play. Not that this is the only strategy, but it may be a great strategy for you to go look at, and we can identify that fairly quickly.
All right, so if you're looking to tap into your equity and figure out maybe how to become not Fannie and Freddie'd out, then all you're going to do is send an email to trappedequity@realestateguysradio.com, trappedequity@realestateguysradio.com. You get an invite to the webinar and be able to learn more. Billy, it's been great stuff. Thanks for being on the show today.
Fantastic, Rob. Thank you so much for having me, and hopefully we help out your listeners, and look forward to this weekend.
Good stuff. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys Radio program. I'm your host, Robert Ellis.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
When it comes to successful rental property investing, it pays to be picky. Pick the right markets, pick profitable properties, and pick great property management. That's easier said than done, but we've got great news. Terry Kerr and his rockstar team at Mid-South Homebuyers are going strong in Memphis, Tennessee, and Little Rock, Arkansas, too. So for a top-notch turnkey single-family home rental property, whether you're a new investor or have a large portfolio already, pick Terry Kerr and Mid-South for a truly A-plus investing experience. To learn more, send an email to midsouth@realestateguysradio.com. That's midsouth@realestateguysradio.com. Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Create Your Future, the 2020 Goals Retreat, January 17th to 19th in beautiful Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. This unique weekend has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the thousands of people that have attended. Hear from some of them and find out more at realestateguysradio.com under events, or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track. Physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2020 Goals Retreat on the third weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com to register. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888 888- 489-7723, extension 18 today.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to corporatedirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for corporatedirect.com.
Hi, I'm Aaron Catusa, the chairman of Catusa Research. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Hey, if you're trying to figure out what you want to do with the rest of your life, then come on out to Create Your Future, the 2020 Goals Retreat. Happens the third weekend of the new year in beautiful Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. You get all the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. Oh my gosh, it was great to hear from Mr. Billy Brown.
Yeah, you know, the reason I wanted to do this and did the webinar with him and all that is because I think the thing that I found when I was actively engaged in the business of helping people with their financing is that most people approach real estate and their portfolio from a transactional basis. So the investors and their advisors are all focused on doing deals, doing transactions. And that's fine, but the thing that I found is missing is nobody's managing the portfolio. People who own individual properties are busy concerned about the property management, managing the property, managing the tenant, the expenses, the cash flow. That's great. Nobody's managing the equity. Nobody's even thinking about it. So if you're in a situation where you've got great properties, great tenants, great property management, you're in a great market, you feel great about it, you're so busy just milking that fat cow, you're so busy enjoying the cash flow and managing the property to optimal performance, to Billy's point, the equity is just sitting there and it's actually getting lazy. And the more successful you are, the more equity you build. And the challenge is multiple. One is that as you grow equity, you lose leverage. And as you lose leverage, you lose equity growth rate or how quickly your portfolio is growing. That's a concern. The bigger concern is if the market turns, and again, we have reasons to believe that there could be a downturn coming. You're on the wrong end of that because your equity goes away when you really want to have your equity liquid so that when there's blood in the streets, you have the opportunity to go pick up some bargains. And that's not capitalizing on distress. What you're doing is you're healing distress because those properties need to be acquired. They need to be put back in service. We've seen this movie before. We kind of know what the cycle is, and it's just something that happens on a regular basis, and this is a way to begin to get prepared.
So if you're interested in getting access to the webinar, all you do is send an email to trappedequity@realestateguysradio.com. trappedequity@realestateguysradio.com. Hey, coming up shortly, one of our favorite things to do every year, it's Halloween Horror Stories. This is our annual tradition, a whole bunch of great tales of things that went terribly wrong in real estate, and more importantly, the lessons that you learned. So we're looking forward to hearing a new crop of those Halloween Horror Stories coming up. Also, some more great interviews in the coming weeks. Big thanks to Billy Brown for sharing his time and expertise with us. Until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.